So one of the things we were going to talk about.
On third wheel, so.
Should I look at you now? Please don't. So what did you see? What did you see on the show floor that we should talk about? What's cool out there? So you've been walking the show floor for 2 days. You've looked at all the fancy cars.
Right.
And what comes away? What's the one thing you remember?
There was that bright orange thing.
You're not. You are a professional. You can call it something else.
No. I like that little Kia concept, which was a small rear-wheel drive sports coupe.
The GT4 Stinger.
Right, exactly.
That's a cool car. I think the big question on everybody's mind is whether or not they'll build it, because it's one of the coolest concepts they've turned down in a while, right?
Well, and the thing with that car is that the Subaru BRZ has sort of opened the market for that car, which is also sold an identical version as the Scion FRS. It's brought back the notion of a $25,000 rear-wheel drive sports coupe.
Right.
It has a back seat, so even people with kids can justify, you know, owning one. And there hasn't been a car on the market like that for quite a while until they launched that a couple years ago. And we're waiting for another car company to jump into that space with a competitor. And, you know, Hyundai and Kia both are eager to enter these new markets and compete, and to do so in specific segments where they're going to get some street cred for doing so. So will Kia do it? We don't know.
And that's the cool thing about the BRZ is, and the reason I'm so glad to see, A, that it exists, B, that it's selling well. You know, it's small, it's light, it's fun to drive. It proves that you don't have to have a million horsepower to have fun behind the wheel, and more important, to have a car that's fun every day around town.
Right.
It makes do, it does an awful lot with very little.
Yeah, it's stylish. It reminds me of driving an older car or something like that, which is good for someone older like myself.
You are older, you have gray hair.
I'm older than you.
Well, everyone's older than me. So, what else did you see that you liked?
Yeah, I was intrigued by the that big Ford truck. The F-150
it's obvious you're a professional. You are just so good at this.
Just for those of you to understand the ridiculousness of what he just said, the F-150 has been the
best-selling vehicle
in the United States for like 32 years, I think.
Yeah, I know that.
We need a fact
very
checker
specialized
on that,
interest.
You're he lives in New York City, though.
You live in New York City. I love sort of the fancy things. It's fine.
No, I mean, it's just, I think, From a market perspective, obviously that's a very important vehicle, right?
You're never going to own a farm. It's all right.
No, I'm not gonna. I own a truck, but last time I had a Ford truck pickup, I had to do a 3-point turn to get it into my driveway upstate in my place in the country.
You're not a New Yorker. You have an upstate place.
It's not a small driveway either, you know. But those things are huge.
Well, so you like the F-150?
I like the idea. I like the idea that it's not any bigger, right? It's like an inch wider or something like that, but it's not any longer than the outgoing truck, and that it's up to whatever, up to 700 pounds lighter.
So I'm just gonna interrupt. We need a bleep.
Burst my bubble.
We need to bleep that 700 pounds because I'm not willing to believe that
several
number
hundred,
from Ford
several until, hundred up to potentially
until we actually weigh this new aluminum bodied pickup truck. I'm not going to repeat Ford's claim about
You don't believe everything the car manufacturer tells you?
I don't believe anything Ford tells me, so
okay.
I want to see that truck. You know, it's very significant. It's a very interesting thing because this is the first time somebody has built a big monster pickup truck with an entirely aluminum body.
Did you see? So there's a race truck down on the down on the floor that's parked right next to the new truck. It looks exactly like the old F-150 that just went away. But what they did to test the new 2.7 liter motor and the frame, what they did to test it was they built a version of the old truck out of aluminum, which they had never done before, hung that on the new frame, and then took that down to Baja and ran it in either the 500 or the 1000, and nobody noticed. Nobody knew. And the Ford guys, I was standing next to it on the floor the other day, and one of the Ford guys walks up to me and just starts randomly telling me the story. And it turns out that they were so geeked about it that they wanted to do this. They proposed it, and then when they were done, they drove it back. You know, this big race truck with massive sand tires and a roll cage and, you know, these weird race bucket seats. They drove it back from Baja to here on the highways. It took like 5 or 6 days. But you look at it, and it's covered in mud, and it'll probably still be there on the public days. But Ford is an interesting company because every so often you get word that, you know, it's the development of the Mustang Boss. Mm-hmm. And you get weird word that a small group of guys within the company has gone and done something really cool.
Mm-hmm.
And we should say the reason why they're doing this is for fuel economy.
Oh, completely right, point right. blank. And that's it.
Right. That's
well, of
it.
Of course, but I mean, that I don't think that's a bad thing. Do you think it's bad to be like trying to get really out of cars?
No, I'm just saying for our listeners that might understand, why would you make the truck out of aluminum?
Oh,
and
you were saying it in a slightly accusatory way. Like, there is something that they try to pull one over on people.
We've just met, but I say pretty much everything in a slightly accusatory way.
That's why I didn't realize.
Lawyer's people. It's great. Lawyer's kid. So, and the reason why they're doing this for fuel economy is because aluminum is lighter than steel, but because aluminum is lighter than steel, it also has some issues, and we'll see how this fares with Ford, but it generally has cost more. It has cost more to repair when
right.
it gets damaged.
That's the big thing.
This is the big thing for people who buy this truck and it's all great. You get in an accident. Generally, aluminum is not as repairable as steel.
And that's what I wonder about because, you know, you look at cars like the last generation Jaguar XJ or, you know, the current XJ or the last generation, you know, the AA, anything that's typically been built out of aluminum, dealers have had to build up a big infrastructure of body shops and technicians that are trained specially to replace and repair that stuff because it's not as straightforward as fixing steel. And a lot of that stuff, you know, it not only does it pass more cost on the consumer or the insurance company that repairs it in the first place, but you're right. I mean, it's not just as simple as, oh, we made the truck out of aluminum, it's great now. You have to wonder how that's going to work down the road.
And this is the real interesting thing. This is the best selling vehicle in the country.
Yeah, are we going to have an aluminum shortage? Are they going to have to start making cans out of like plant reinforced plastics?
Maybe when I bring back my aluminum can in the state of Michigan, they'll give me a dollar for it instead of 10 cents.
That's right. Okay, where do they build that truck? Did they build it here?
I'm not sure. It's not Flat Rock. That's a Mustang. Where do they build those?
No,
things,
you know? There was more than one F-150 plant.
Yeah, one would imagine there would have to be to produce 762,000 of them.
I'm so impressed that you know these things. It's a truck.
Every so often,
someone you spit out facts, surprise the entire world, and know something about
At least all our guests prepared.
There we go.
So, shifting gears from the truck, mm-hmm. though, I have to say, I saw one of the most ridiculous things I've ever seen in my life, and I've been an automotive journalist since the 90s. The 911 Targa.
Oh.
The most German car ever. Because it has this crazy folding mechanical contraption roof that's all there to move a tiny little square of fabric over your head.
I was standing there when they launched, you know, when they unveiled the thing, and the executive actually said, I forget who it was, actually said, you know, I can't explain it, it's too complicated to tell you how it works, so I'm just going to show you. And the room went silent, and the person sitting in the car pressed the button, and the top retracted, and it jaws dropped across the room, because the entire back end of the car lifts up.
Right, this giant bubble of glass.
And then the roll bar kind of opens up, and this like 2-foot square piece of fabric flips into the trunk. It's akin to, you know, pushing aside the Chrysler building to ash your cigarette in the basement and then pushing it back. I mean, it doesn't make any sense. And you look at it, and it just seems like so much drama for nothing.
I loved it. I'm going to go on the record saying that I loved it, and I think it's great. And I think it's as good as a convertible. If I was given the choice, I would get that instead.
Brent, thanks for being here.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me, Sam.
It's always a pleasure. Just to recap, this is Car Show Radio from the 2014 Detroit North American International Auto Show on Sirius XM Indy 104.
This is Car Show Radio.
Sirius XM.
This is
Sirius
XM Satellite Radio.